And welcome. This is Friday, the 10th of May, and you're listening to IDK Politics. I am your host, Caitlin Holland. And yeah, welcome this morning, guys. It's been a while, but we have to blame exams. It's a stunning day outside, I'm not going to lie. It's the first time I think I can appreciate the sun since we finished exams. So yeah, a jam-packed day, lads. It is our last show, which I'm very sad about. But look, hopefully I'll be back next year. Hopefully we'll have another year of great political chats. But yeah, this is my last show for the summer. So I want to leave with a bang. So we have a jam-packed show today. We have, yesterday was Europe Day, we'll get more into that. We have the North Macedonian elections. We have the UK elections last week, which are very interesting. We have a bit on Ireland and new polling. So, you know, I have to go through that. So before we get into that, guys, I have a song called More by Jimmy Clifton. Recommendation from a family member. So hopefully it's going to be good. So, yep, this is More by Jimmy Clifton. See you in a sec, guys. And that was More by Jimmy Clifton. A recommendation by my brother. So, thank you. So, let's get into it, guys. We have a jam-packed show and I don't want to run out of time. So, to start the day, we have yesterday, the 9th of May, everyone should remember this date, was Europe Day. Not EU Day, Europe Day. Europe Day, really cool. I have celebrated the last 2 years by working on various projects. But yesterday we had 500 primary school kids on campus celebrating it. So, you know, it's a bit of a date mark. Europe Day, held on May 9th each year, celebrates peace and unity in Europe. It's the date marks the anniversary of the historic Schuman Doctrine, if anyone remembers from Leaving Cert History, that set out his idea for to form a new political cooperation in Europe after World War II. Which would make the war between Europe nations unthinkable. Schuman's proposal is considered the beginning of what now is the EU. So, yep, really important day, guys. It marks what the EU came to be from a document which was supposed to stop war in the continent. So, really cool. I'd recommend people reading further on it or maybe seeing could they partake in some Europe Day festivities at the weekend. It's really cool. But anyways, to move on from that, because that was yesterday, old news, as they say, we have elections. As I said, when I started doing the show, it is the year of elections, so why not go out on a few elections? So it was the North Macedonian elections last week. I think the official results came out on Wednesday. Yes, Wednesday, the 8th of May. So Nationalist Party, and I'm not going to say it because it's a bunch of letters and they probably mean something or a long name. So it's the Nationalist Party in North Macedonia won the election on Wednesday, in which the Social Democrats lost after 7 years in power. Voters hope for this change in government, it would lead to European membership, EU membership, but do fear continuous delays. So the North Macedonian Nationalist Party, which were in opposition to the then sitting government of Social Democrats, beat the Sock Dems for control on Wednesday. The Nationalist Party won 42% of the votes, with nearly all ballots counted by Wednesday for the parliamentary election, giving them 58 seats in a 120-seat parliament versus the 15% of votes the Social Democrats got, which were then the sitting party. It marks a major change in North Macedonia, which is a Balkan state of only 2 million people, as voters were fueled by anger at the slow development and persistent corruption that was held holding up their European membership bid. This power change is very historic, as the Nationalist Party have not been in power since 2017, which they're ousted over alleged corruption. And some voters expressed concerns that the Nationalist Party were harming the relations between the European neighbours of Greece and Bulgaria and its ability to join the EU. In 2001, North Macedonia, on the brink of civil war, were backed by NATO in promise that they'd have faster integration. The country, North Macedonia, joined NATO in 2020, but still has not joined the EU as though promised. Other parties that have won seats have been the Albanian Alliance, which secured 11% of the votes, and the Ethnic Macedonian Splinter Group, which won 5.5% of votes, around six seats. It is really interesting, as North Macedonia has been a country wishing to join the EU since 2003. It is now 2024. They have been waiting around 20 years. This is an issue we have seen with the EU and many of the countries wishing to join candidacy, as they have been held back for many reasons. North Macedonia has been held back twice by Greece over name changing and name-related issues. Small things like that actually do withhold people from joining the EU. It applied for, it expressed interest in becoming a candidate in 2003. It got onto the Stabilisation and Association Agreement in 2004 and was granted ability to apply for membership in 2004 along with that. In 2005, it was granted country candidate status, so it is now a candidate of the EU for membership. It is actually really interesting. North Macedonia is a great case if you want to like figure out why it takes so long or why it's such a lengthy and confusing process for countries to join the EU. North Macedonia actually, it shows how intricate and how difficult it is for a country to join, for good reasons, as it looks at economics, different clusters, green deals, competitiveness. It's honestly, the European website is great for this, and I will be honest, that's what I'm looking at. So, it's really interesting. So they've had a massive switchover in government in hopes that the switchover will grant them EU status. But the fact that they ousted the Nationalist Party back in 2017 over a corruption that was stopping them from becoming an EU member, we do not know about that. So with that, I'm going to play one more song, guys, because it's a good day for songs. We have King. No, we've always played that song. Let's be a bit more original, I guess. We have Dinner and Diatribes by Hozier. So this is Dinner and Diatribes. See you in a sec, guys. And that was Shadow by Kingfisher, an Irish band, and actually a really great band. So I'd recommend, if you haven't heard them, please check them out. And before that was Dinner and Diatribes by the one and only Hozier. So to get further into it, lads, last week was a very important thing in global politics. It was the British local elections. But no, seriously, that is a really good indicator for the future of British politics. So it was quite important. So to get into it, the British council elections are the same as the Irish. There are local election, you're voting for a local candidate, someone that will represent your area, so your local area. Not like your county, not like your country, but like your local area. So out of the 107 councils in Britain, Labour won 1,158 seats, up 186 seats from last year. The Liberal Democrats have 522 seats, up 104 seats. And the Conservative Party, the current ruling party in Britain, because as they are a two-party majority, so they're a two-party system, they have the Conservatives and they have the Labour, and Conservatives are in power at the moment, have in power for many years. They have won 515 seats, down 474 seats. So that's the major, major result of the election, that Labour, not Labour, the Conservatives are down practically 400 seats. Other independents, they're up 94 seats at 228. The Greens have 181 seats, up 74. There's a number called the Residents Association. They have 48 seats, up 11. The Workers' Party of Britain have 4 seats, they're up 4, so it must be their first time running this year, or they've never won a seat before, but they've won 4 seats for the first time. And then we have Reform UK, which is a party I'm kind of nervous about. They're up 2 seats, with 2 seats, so they also have got 2 seats. There is no overall control of any council within Britain, so there's no full, let's say, Labour haven't treat control of a council, which is common with British councils, as it is such a diverse area that many groups don't win over, like one party doesn't win overall control in an area, let's say. Along with that, they were also doing England mayor elections, and you're also doing police and crime commissioners, which is an interesting, because we don't have that in Ireland, so it was quite interesting to look at. out of the mayor elections, the most important mayor election was the London mayor, with Sadiq Khan winning, a Labour candidate. So yeah, he won, which was a bit surprising because people didn't expect him to win. He got around 1 million votes, with Susan Hall, a Conservative candidate, getting around 800,000. Lib Dem, then Green, Reform, all winning many seats and in the top five for the position. But you have other parties such as the Animal Welfare Party, which I didn't know. And then, of course, you have Britain First, London Real Party, didn't know they existed. And also the Cousin Britain, which we don't have in Ireland, is they have a bit, not funny or like different parties, but they have character parties, to say less. Because there was Count Binface, as you would have seen online. He is a person that wears a bin over his head, and it's quite an elaborate costume. But he got 24,000 votes. So, not to be dismissed, we could say. There was only 40% turnout at this election, down 0.6 since last year, which averages around 6 million people turned out for London mayor elections, which I'm pretty sure it's only 40% of the electorate. So, not great. Going to be honest, that's very, very sad results. But look, it is interesting. It will show how the elections will go in Britain in the coming few months, because the Conservatives have sat there for, I think, around a decade now since the last Labour government. So people are expecting Labour to be the next winners of the British election, which is backed up by polling, a lot of polling. The British opposition Labour have increased in polling over Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's Conservatives to stand at 30 points ahead. So the Labour Party is 30 points ahead of the Conservatives at the moment in YouGov polls, which are usually used for all papers. That coming up to the elections this year, Labour is now at 48%, with the ruling party Conservatives at 18%, reading the worst since Sunak became Prime Minister 18 months ago. The gap between the two parties is the biggest since the October 2022, where the Conservatives' support absolutely crashed with Truss's mini-budget. This really indicates how Britain is moving towards Labour from their very, very prominent Conservative ways, and will be illustrate that that Labour took the majority of seats at the local elections. They will probably be taking the majority of seats at national elections, as they are used as a great indicator, especially along with London mayors. A lot of the mayors also were Labour. Looking here, I am looking at Labour, one Conservative out of a group of maybe 10. So yeah, really interesting stuff. I'd recommend anyone else having a bit of a look at that. Now, what are we moving on to? We're moving on to the 21st of May, guys. I don't know, have you heard this? This is kind of not breaking news, but it was out yesterday. We have spoken before on the show that about the issue of the recognition of Palestine as a state and not a territory as ruled by the UN. Sorry. And so at the moment, there is major discussions going on that Ireland, Spain, and many other EU countries, such as I have the other two, which is Malta and Slovenia, which are on hope, people are saying on May 21st, will recognize Palestine as a state and not a territory. This has, Orty have been saying that it's more than three sources have been saying it's the 21st of May, but many saying it will happen. It is after a long, long discussions between Ireland, Spain and other EU countries on their stance. And they're hoping that due to this, that they will push the EU to look at the joint agreement with Israel and the EU on trade and other important issues like that. And at the moment, eight EU countries recognize the state of Palestine. But it will be interesting to see when this will happen and also what will happen because of it. But yep, so that is major news, which I would recommend anyone following because it is a very important topic which people can't get lax over. So yeah, with that, guys, I'm going to move on to another song. This is Time Zone by Måneskin. And so yeah, this time's going by Måneskin. Be back in a sec.
talking to the wall. Tilly's a friend of mine. I call you every hour just to tell you that I'm losing my mind. Now I know you're sleeping. We're all supposed to be in. Wish I could.
And that was No One Knows with by Steven Sanchez and Lafre. And before that, that was Time Zone by Måneskin. So just to wrap up the show, guys, I'm going to do something which I adore, which is polling, because I'm always on about polling, and it's because it's a great indicator. And fun fact, I wrote about the use of polling and such on my summer exams. So, you know, it is actually useful, this adoration for polling. And it's actually a really cool indicator. Polling has shown, like, great effects on, like, elections, what governments do. It's not just like, oh, well, how do you feel? Like, polling has actual effects on society, which I don't think many people recognize. Polling has been the reason people show out to vote, people don't come out to vote. Polling has been the reason budget has been spent on that or this. It is a real indicator how society feels, though it's usually taken from such a small cohort of people, but could sway turnout from 60 to 40%. It is so intriguing. So I do love polling, and I do enjoy the European movement, Ireland polling, because it does illustrate how both the Republican Ireland feels and Northern Ireland feels, and on the EU. So at the moment, new polling came out, and they sample 1,200 people from both the north and both from the south, so of Ireland, and it's conducted yearly, so this is 2024 polling, which was taken in March, just for a bit of context. The first question, and I'd recommend anyone just Google 2024 polling, European Movement Ireland, and you'll see a lovely brochure. It's only 20 pages long, and it's actually so fab. But the first thing is, should Ireland remain in the EU? It's a simple question, but it does break it down. The Republican of Ireland has stated that 84% agree that Ireland should remain in the EU, with 9% thinking we should leave and 7% stating they don't know. That breaks down to, in cohort, people age 55 and over, 87% of people believe we should stay in, and which averages out with all the other age groups. The lowest of going is 79% of people between 45 and 54 believe we should remain the EU. So that's the lowest drop we have. And the highest amount of people believing we should stay in the EU is young people, so 18 to 24. 91% believe we shouldn't stay in the EU. Now, let's put this against Northern Ireland. Against our 84%, 76% believe Ireland should remain in the EU, in Northern Ireland, with 17% believing we should not, and 7, again, stating they don't know. What the interesting take is, it is 67% of people, young people aged 18 to 24, believe Ireland should remain in the EU, with a level of 33% of believing we should leave. That is the highest against all other age cohorts. And it's really shocking, I believe. And they don't have any in-betweens. Like, it's yes or no. Like, there's 0% believing, I don't know. It's really interesting to look at because you're like, okay, but why do the... That's really interesting place to state where why do the young people in Northern Ireland feel so strongly against all other age cohorts that Ireland should leave the EU. Now, if we scroll through the page, that was page one. Other questions are, do you think Ireland is moving in the right direction? The EU is moving in the right direction, my apologies. 49% of people in Ireland only believe that Ireland, EU is moving in the right direction, which is the exact mirrorment onto the UK, onto Northern Ireland. And again, it is the young people that are most disenfranchised feeling that the EU is not moving in the right direction. And then if you continue through the book, it is really interesting and really simple. It's all graphs. It's all easy. You don't have to be reading pages and pages and pages of notes or anything. What I find interesting is where do you think the EU's performance is strongest? At the highest, 46% of Republic of Ireland believe that trade is the EU's strongest point, with 55% in Northern Ireland. Other areas are environment, digital regulation, defence and security, migration, agriculture and tax, with trade being the highest one and I don't know being the second highest one. And then if you mirror that again, where do you think the EU's performance is the weakest, with migration at 46% in the Republic and 44% in Northern Ireland, followed by defence, I don't know, and environment. Which, again, really interesting, but quite people understand and people can recognise that a bit more easier. Other questions on it are, do you think there'll be a united Ireland next 10 years? There is, do you think Northern Ireland should have has a good relationship with the EU and you think it is important to vote in your European Parliament elections? Should Northern Ireland have a good relationship with the EU? 53% agree, 38% disagree. Should you vote, and that was put to Northern Ireland, and then in the Republic of Ireland, the question was put, do you think it is important to vote in your European Parliament elections, which are your MEP elections, which are happening June 7th? With 88% people agreeing, which is shocking because we have incredibly low turnout when it comes to our European elections. So 88% agreeing, would people actually do what they say they should? With the highest people agreeing that European elections are important to vote at is 55 plus and the lowest 18 to 24 year olds. Really interesting, and I honestly would recommend anyone having a bit of a nose at it because it goes on. It's 20 pages long with really easy diagrams, really easy to look at. Goes through some important issues, and I just thought them few were quite like interesting, kind of illustrated how some people feel, and it's interesting to try and kind of getting a bit of a concrete look at questions like this, getting actual answers. So yeah, so that is. That's my last segment for the day, guys. So this is our last show. A few house notes. Please go register to vote. You can register to vote by May 20th. You can do it online. It takes 90 seconds, they state, and I agree. So please go to checktheregister.ie to check if you have been registered to vote. And if you are not, you can register there. It's so easy. You just need your PPS number, your residence, and you're registered. It stacks quick and that simple. You get an email when you have been stated you are now on the register. Along with that, your next elections for all residents of Ireland and members of the EU, you are going to be voting in your local elections in Ireland on the 7th of June, and you'll be voting in your EU elections on the 7th of June. If you live in UCC, by UCC, you'll be seeing all the posters going up for your candidates. I'd recommend anyone just having a quick nose, just a quick look. See who's running. See how you feel about them. If you feel great about them, maybe look at their party. If you don't feel great about them, maybe look at their party. It is really important that you research before you vote, as you'd be making an informed decision. And yeah, your important dates: register to vote by the 20th of May. Your next election for anyone that can vote in Ireland or is an EU citizen. The 7th of June, you'll be voting in your locals and your EU elections in Ireland, and the 8th and the 9th in any other European country. It depends on your country, as different countries have different voting days. Ireland, it's Friday. So please note down your calendar. Look at who's running. Check the register. All them good stuff. But please, please vote, because it's young people that need to vote, because we're mostly disenfranchised by politics. After that, I'd recommend anyone just having, look, over the summer, you don't need to be incredibly, incredibly informed, but please just have a nose at the paper, read a few articles on RTE, just stay informed, because it's always good for you, and I won't be here to inform you. Well, that's a lie. If you follow the Instagram at idkpoliticsucc, I will be posting info pieces all summer explaining big affairs, big current affairs. I'll be posting TikToks that will be interesting and easy to get information in a minute, and I'll be posting probably news articles and more podcasts, because you know I love a good podcast. So with that, guys, thank you so much for a good semester, and I will be seeing you next year. So to end the day, I'm going to play Red Wine Supernova by Shafel Rowan and a few other bangers. So please, I might see you in September, and please stay informed. This has been IDK Politics, your host Caitlin Holland, and I'll see you next year. Bye, guys. Thank you.